This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:48 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. Now, the new academic year officially begins next week on March 21st, which is somewhat a departure from the norm. Usually we see the Standard 1 kids starting their school in January, but this is only happening in March. Just because of the disruption that COVID-19 has had on the school calendar. And this is just one of many repercussions of disruptions to education that have been felt throughout the past 2 years.
And the lockdowns imposed in March 2020 were the start of a steep learning curve for students and educators to transition to online learning as schools closed down to curb the spread of the virus. In fact, schools in Malaysia saw some of the longest period of closures in the world, according to data from UNESCO.
The effectiveness of home-based online learning and teaching, our PDPR, as it's known by its Malay acronym, has been mixed at best, with learning outcomes dependent on the availability of technology equipment, internet access, and parental supervision. The disruptions in education have been exacerbated by learning outcomes between the advantage and disadvantaged kids in society. And there are deep concerns that the past 2 years have created a lost generation of children who may fall further behind.
So in light of this, what should policymakers prioritize to recover for learning loss and ultimately prepare our education system for the next pandemic? So joining us on the line to discuss lessons learned is Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Professor of Development Economics at University of Malaya. Niaz, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Could we start with just your, I suppose, impressions of how the pandemic lockdowns and COVID-19 has impacted schooling? How would you quantify the impact of disrupted schooling for national education outcomes?
Thanks, Shazana. This question about quantifying the cost of disrupted schooling during the pandemic is rather a challenging one. Particularly if you consider that the impact on national outcomes has been multidimensional and will be felt across generation. So children have been affected differently depending on where they are in the schooling cycle. For those at the pre-primary level, the impact will work by undermining school readiness. For those in primary and secondary schools, closure may cause transitional disruption to the next level of education. And alongside schooling loss, there is a genuine fear of sharp rise in learning poverty. As a matter of fact, Malaysia has one of the highest estimates of losses in learning-adjusted years of schooling. But if you were to set aside these details and ask me to sum up the impact of learning loss for Malaysia, we are talking about staggering figures. A loss in lifetime earnings of up to $59 billion.
Home-based online learning, or PDPR, was implemented to make up for the loss of face-to-face learning. What do you make of the response from government and stakeholders to address infrastructure readiness for PDPR? Did we adapt quickly enough to minimize this digital divide?
So PDPR has two sides to it. The one is the hardware side, another one is the software side, but you are right to worry about the infrastructure divide, particularly relating to technology. Because as school closed physically, technology access was key to remain connected for students with teachers, at least virtually. So the pandemic in a way exposed some major gaps in our educational infrastructure provision. Again, to be fair to the government, they have launched the Malaysia Digital Economy Blueprint early last year, we have seen rapid expansion of digital transformation programs, such as the Jandela initiative of MCMC. Under these initiatives, we have seen some expansion of digital opportunities in many parts of rural Malaysia, by building, for example, hundreds of telco towers. But the challenge really has been in exactly locations where the digital divide is in extreme form. Think of last mile villages where the target of providing one digital divide for every child only works if there is also sufficient internet bandwidth in the community. So we are therefore talking about simultaneous policy intervention to close the digital divide, not just at home, but also in the community. And this required close coordination of efforts by multiple stakeholders and seamless implementation of public and private infrastructure projects. And I felt that this is where we didn't do well. In the absence of such close coordination, private investments have been lacking in locations, precisely where schools remained isolated during the PDPR campaign.
Yes, okay. So we talk a bit about the hardware. I want to talk a little bit about the software and the teachers. Do you think that we adequately equip them to manage to teach during this challenging period? And can we do much more for the teachers?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, well, we must not forget that, you know, teachers are, you know, in many ways, frontline workers, and they have been also badly affected. So they have this huge social responsibility to sort of take care of our future generation, you know, thinking out of the box, working in extremely challenging locations where the crisis has affected learners most. And that's where I suppose we have run into situations that no one saw, given our legacy of centralized education planning, lack of autonomy at the grassroots level. So meant that, well, where teachers felt what could be done in the best interest of children, they were not sufficiently empowered. And so therefore, you know, the pandemic has not just exposed gaps in the usual, you know, deficits in our teaching force, such as lack of training and, you know, subject matter expertise, but also the lack of acting with agency in times of crisis, because in times of crisis, we have to be agile, flexible, adapt to our circumstances. And particularly one component of PDPR is to go offline in locations where there isn't any internet, in locations where children don't have computers. So, you know, there are many binding constraints and missing inputs that make children learn. So how should teachers adapt? And I felt that, well, you know, this crisis, therefore, has, of course, created many lessons. Those need to be scrutinized. But again, I think the biggest lesson is that Malaysia really needs to revisit the way the whole education system is governed, the way we empower our teachers. And of course, you know, I also want to comment on parents, but I suppose you'll come to that in a minute.
I feel like parents would be a whole other point as well to consider. There are just so many issues that you've highlighted here, Niaz, and, you know, covering so many different threads. I want to zero in on something you said earlier, which is the loss in lifetime learning could come to $59 billion, if I'm not mistaken, you said. That's a massive amount. So my next question is, what needs to be prioritized now by policymakers to address these learning losses? The losses are massive.
Yes, absolutely. And you have to understand that how we come to that number is it's a combination of, you know, days lost in school, and at the same time, the remedial measures put in place to make sure that those losses don't turn into learning losses. And that's when we are talking about the effectiveness of online education under PDPR. And so again, you know, the issue has been that, well, one on the side of politics deciding how long to keep schools closed. Another one is governance, meaning that, well, as schools remain closed, how much we can do to make sure that, you know, learning is not lost, even though children are at home. And again, you know, so, you know, we had an opportunity to experiment with crisis time education, and we have successfully put together, you know, our national digital education architecture. And now, you know, we have an ability to connect with learners and teachers. And it's been a work in progress. PDPR year one has been unsatisfactory in so many domains. Year two has seen much more progress. We have been able to sort of, you know, record attendance and improve monitoring. So that has been one very important aspect, and which is where the there were major gaps in the first year. But again, you know, the biggest challenge has been at home. Lack of parental supervision. Parents also didn't have digital capability. And, you know, they didn't know how to supervise children. They were also in times of distress. So there's a lot of, you know, lessons learned and time for reflection.
Niaz, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. I think this is just the teaser into a much broader conversation that we hope to have with you moving forward. That was Dr. Niaz Asadullah, Professor of Development Economics at University Malaya, reflecting on some of the lessons learned in education during this pandemic amid all the lockdowns and just the school disruptions that we've seen.
I think one aspect that we probably haven't really touched on is actually the social aspect of the school children, because the lack of it, actually, they have been kept in their houses and all that, and maybe embark on online conversation with their friends. But would that affect the way they socialize?
Definitely. I see my nephew and nieces. There are these issues that we have to consider, right? Their children's mental health and socialization, being with their friends, is so much part of education, and that 2 years clearly has been lost.
All right, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.